I welcome you with all my heart. Welcome to our dynamic, wonderful course series, How to Be Fearless, Happy, and Resilient in the Age of Noise and Distractions. How to be fearless, happy, and resilient in this age of noise and distractions. In this course, we're going to be asking the question, can fear be eliminated permanently? And then we're going to be showing you how to conquer fear now. Can fear be eradicated completely, permanently? So what I want for you throughout this entire program of courses is that you come to understand and to experience directly that fear is a notion that can be destroyed. And for many, has been. So can fear be eradicated completely? Well, that depends first on your understanding of fear and why you fear. Because people have many different perceptions, notions, opinions, and beliefs, and also varying experiences with respect to fear. Let's start at the very top of the debate, so to speak. And that debate is, and I don't know if debate is the right mantra because I think this notion is widely accepted amongst the masses, that a certain amount of fear is healthy. That if we don't fear certain situations, circumstances, people, etc., that we will be unprotected. Now, this notion, I want you to understand, comes from the old, worn-out fight-flight reaction. The fight-or-flight reaction, which has been popular for millennia, is itself a perception. And it's an old paradigm. And in the experience of those of us here in Nityananda Shaktipat Yoga, it is a worn-out paradigm. Nonetheless, this understanding, this perception, is still embraced by many, many people. So I want to begin by addressing that first, this flight, fight reaction, which even many psychologists will tell you is an inherent part of human nature. But that's not so either. And I will explain and offer a perspective on that in just a few moments. So this fight, flight mechanism comes from very ancient times. Let's talk about the hunter-gatherer tribes. So at one point on this planet, most of the people who inhabited the planet were hunter-gatherers, meaning that they lived, for the most part, out in nature, in the elements. It was nothing like our modern society today. They had very little shelter, and for food to sustain themselves, they were not farmers. They were hunters. They were used to killing things. There's no other way to put it. And so the hunter-gatherer ancestry of humankind, in order to eat, to survive, they spent a great deal of their time hunting animals, They did not have farming skills or the kind of knowledge of the plant world, herbs, spices, etc., in the way that we do today. And they weren't concerned about that. Their focus was, we're on today, the day has started, we have to eat just for today. What's the quickest, most easiest means to do that? And that's to go out and kill an animal. And so this is what they did. And if they weren't able to find an animal to kill and eat, they didn't eat for that day. So regardless of whether or not that's an effective means, this was the culture. And so hunter-gatherers went out into the wild to hunt down animals. And the fight-flight reaction is part and parcel of the fact that these beings put themselves in harm's way. For example, hunting, hoping to find a deer to kill, and instead they ran into a wild elephant, right? So there's a huge difference between a deer and a wild elephant. A deer is going to flee. A wild elephant is not. A wild elephant is going to turn and trample you. And so we have this fight-flight mechanism that hunter-gatherers placing themselves willfully in dangerous situations for hunting had this immediate set of fears around running into wild animals that they were not going to be able to oppose, that they could get hurt, severely wounded, or killed. And often this was the case. So this is where this fight-flight mechanism comes from. Now, we live in an entirely different age. We live in a modern age where there is no situation that we're going to come across, or at least it's incredibly unlikely unless we go out into the wilds where elephants, jaguars, and tigers, etc., exist, lions and tigers and snakes. Unless we go to where they are, there is no possibility that we will be placing ourselves in harm's way with respect to these very dangerous situations. This is an entirely different time. And unless we live in a war zone, there's no way that we need to concern ourselves with the kind of protection we might be, because if we step out of our homes, or even if we don't, there are going to be bullets and bombs flying everywhere, because most of us don't live in a war zone. So this is why I say this fight-flight reaction, not only is it not part of human nature, and I'm going to make that point more in a moment, but it's an old, worn-out paradigm just because societies have changed, cultures have changed, we live in a different time where that fight-flight mechanism is really no longer necessary for our imminent protection, because in normal, everyday, mundane, worldly life, most people are not going to find themselves in situations where they're in severe danger, unless they have willfully placed themselves in those kinds of situations. So we live in a different environment, in other words, in our modern times. Now, in addition to that, consider the following with respect to this notion that the fight-flight mechanism is a healthy part of human nature and is an inherent part of human nature. You may or may not be aware that there are elephant trainers on the planet. And I knew some of them. There was one elephant trainer, and he was a short man. He went out into the wilds and caught a huge elephant to offer the elephant as a gift to my Sri Gurudev, hoping the elephant would become a pet in the ashram, which the elephant did. This elephant was huge. The man was about 4 feet, 9 inches tall. And he went out and hunted that elephant, subdued it, and tamed it with no fear whatsoever. Why? Because he had skill. He had skill and intelligence. And furthermore, it's likely that he had to overcome whatever initial fears he had to execute his skills, to rein in that elephant, to spend all the time necessary to train it, to domesticate the elephant, which he did. And there are lots of elephant trainers on the planet. who do this on a regular basis. How about all of those skilled people who tame whales, killer whales, that are tamed and trained to jump around in pools to entertain people? There are a number of skilled people who continue to do this today. They can't do that if they have fear. They have long ago overcome their fears, if they had any, in order to execute skills and intelligence to train those killer beasts, killer whales. And we can go down the list. What about people who climb skyscrapers to clean windows at corporate headquarters? Lots of those people. They go up on scaffolds 50, 60, 100, 150 stories on the outside of the building to clean windows. No fear. If they had any to begin with, they overcame their fears with skill and intelligence, which of course they must have also practiced. What about Navy SEALs? Warriors who placed themselves in harm's way, who faced down missiles and bullets to engage in special ops, rescue missions for hostages, etc. And I used to know some retired Navy SEALs who loved sharing with me not only their stories, but how they had to overcome their fears to be a Navy SEAL. And in every situation, I was told, if you have fears, you can't be a Navy SEAL. You cannot allow fear to enter your consciousness when you're engaged in a special op or a mission to rescue hostages, knowing that you're going into this kind of extremely hostile environment where you have to face perpetrators head on with a rifle and get in and get out and likely take life in order to accomplish your mission. And the Navy SEALs I knew told me that their focus was to accomplish the mission. And that focus completely overrode their fears long ago. But not just that. Again, you're hearing me say something over and over again. It was also their skill combined with intelligence. This is how they became fearless. What about detectives, police officers, who lay their lives on the line every single day? And I used to work with both detectives and police officers as part of community policing in New York City, in several of the boroughs. And so I observed these people firsthand and got to know some of them very, very, very well. Some of them were my workout buddies in the gym for many, many years. What about bomb squads? Individuals who get in a suit that they know will never protect them fully from dying should a bomb explode while they're attempting to dismantle a bomb. And yet they go in and they do it. And this is day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, both in policing municipalities as well as in war situations. Bomb squad specialists who go in and dismantle a bomb so that it will not go off. Those people had to overcome fear long ago, because they will tell you if they ever allowed fear to manifest in their consciousness, they would not be successful at dismantling the bomb, thereby placing their own life in danger as well as the lives of the people they're attempting to save. Everybody's gone at that point. However, they had skill and intelligence. So you don't need to be frightened. Even if we're talking about, concern about burning your hand, right? You don't need to fear fire to be protected from burning yourself accidentally. There's no necessity for fear in that situation. What you need is to be cautious, to take the proper steps to protect yourself from the fire as you're working with fire. And firemen and women can tell you this, that they have to learn the inner workings of the fire. That's part of getting the skills that they need to put out fires that are endangering people's lives, not fear. So I've just given you examples that you can contemplate regarding this notion that fear and the fight-flight reaction is necessary, is healthy, and also is an inherent part of human nature, none of which is true. This is just an old paradigm. It's an old set of perceptions. It's worn out. It's unnecessary. Om Namah.